John chapter 2, the temple of this body. I'm going to read verse 18 through verse 22. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. I think about that. 46 years to build that temple. To build one building. We see these old buildings, these old churches over in Europe and such, even some cathedrals in our own country, but nothing like what they have over there, castles and cathedrals. And I'm going to venture to say that they might have worked on some of those for 100 years. I mean, to get that thing built and put together. And the Lord tells him, said, you destroy this temple. He said, I'll raise it up in 3 days. In 3 days. And this is actually the same sign for you and I. This sign of the temple. Because he spoke of his body. And we speak of our body, you see. But any more than these Jews, most won't let go. They won't destroy the temple that he might rebuild it in the new birth in Christ. They just simply will not. Took them 46 years to build it, or more or less. It doesn't matter. And we always want a part of the old building left standing. But in Christ, in this walk, that can't be. Christ didn't partially die. He wholly died. He fully died, you see. And like these Jews, most often we won't comply. We don't comply with the gospel. Why? Well, the truth is, you'd argue, but we don't believe. We don't believe he'll build it back. You see, we'll hear 1,000 things that we don't have to do to become Christians, but we won't do the one thing that is necessary. Destroy the temple. And I think that's actually the truest form of repentance. This destroying of the temple, you see. This giving up, this surrender, as I say, letting go. You just let it go. And I can speak from experience in my own life and in the observation of others that I've seen. Not many, but some. The old building versus the new building, you see. And it's that dramatic. It's the tearing down of one and the rebuilding of another. As one being destroyed and a new taking his place. It's death to life. And it's that dramatic. Except, of course, we're speaking of a spiritual temple. A new spirit within it. We become a new creature. The truth is, most people don't want to become a new. They like the old creature pretty well, you see. Now, I might appear the same to you, but inside, one man, the old man Adam, has been destroyed. And the new man, the second man, Christ Jesus, has taken his place. And this must be. This must transpire, or else you'd be none of his. I've been in the third chapter of the book of John all week. Maybe in there another couple weeks, I don't know. You see, he said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. John 3:3, that if you only had one verse, that's it. Verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter what you tell a man to do or not tell a man to do or what religion, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then the Bible says, many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The ones led by the Spirit of God, John 8:14. They're the sons of God. Those that whose temple has been destroyed and rebuilt through the new birth. And now, listen, this is not a thought process, nor even a mental ascent. And that's all most have. I've observed it for years. They have a thought process or a mental ascent. But all that is a remodel. That's a redo of the old. And that's most that you find in religion. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to repeat a statement I heard in all places on a show on the TV. But in essence, it's exact. I had to go back and replay that thing because I knew there was something to it. And this character, he's a little older and as I am. And somebody warned him about something, one thing or another. But he made this statement. He said, men my age don't compensate. We do what we want. And that thing rang with me. Men my age don't compensate. We do what we want. No pretense. By this time, we are what we are. I mean, we're a grumpy old man, or we're this or that, and we don't compensate. We do what we want. But he ended by saying, "Youth compensates with disrespect and poor taste," and they do. And I did. You see? Now you get that. Men my age don't compensate. We do what we want. First, let's establish the thing. The very definition. That's a very interesting word. Compensate. Compensate. You may think you know what it means. Maybe you do. I don't know. It's an act to neutralize or correct a thing. A deficiency. You might be correcting a deficiency or an abnormality in a physical property or an effect. And all, have you ever thought about that? Our whole life generally is a compensation. We're compensating for our appearance, or we're compensating for our lack, or some such thing. And I like this. It's an attempt to conceal or offset. Men my age don't compensate. We do what we want. A disability, a frustration. And we do that by development in another direction. Okay? Now, this is the way I put it. Make up for something. In all our lives, we're trying to make up for something. Especially in religion. You see? The lost man. The religious man, he must always compensate for his lack of everything concerning Christ, concerning the new birth. It would seem that our whole life a compensation. From Genesis, what they do when their eyes were open and they saw they were naked, they compensated. What'd they do? Fig leaf. In our whole life, fig leaf. Oops, fig leaf. Fig leaf, you see? As I often quote Chuck Berry, the old rock guitar player, he said, "I still thinking." Yeah, And that's the problem. We preached on that last week. The new creature, now hear me, the new creature has nothing to compensate for. Did you ever think about that? The new creature has nothing to compensate. He's complete. Turn with me to my favorite chapter in the Bible. So I have to tell you what it is. Does anybody know?
Romans 8.
There you go. Amen, brother. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, if you didn't read anything else in life, just keep reading Romans chapter 8. You'll get it. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 29 and verse 30. For whom he did foreknow, God, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. There's no compensation needed there. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also, nobody will preach this, glorified. Why else would Romans 8 be my favorite chapter in the entire book? Just read it over and over. And especially in light of Paul coming out of Romans 7. We won't go there today. We've been there many times before. I might rewrite the phrase that we just spoke of. Those in Christ need no compensation. And when you study that word compensation, you don't need it in Christ. And now hear me. And this is the interesting part of that phrase. We do what we want. Now, a lot of people misuse that. We've got religions, they take that as a license to sin. But we do what we want. In that book of Romans, you're still there. Go back to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. He said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Glory. I've told many times the story. I ran around the house shouting when I received this verse. You remember. Crying, I'm the law. And I am. Men my age, children of God, don't compensate. We do what we want. We're the law. I shouldn't have put this in here, but you know, I'm not politically correct. Steve Martin, there was an old movie called The Jerk, and he was raised by a family of black folk. And this man was bad-mouthing black folk and using what's today considered a derogatory term. And he was talking about these niggers. And Steve Martin cried out, I am a nigger. And he was a white boy. You see. Well, I am the law. Well, I am a child of God. You see. Look at Romans. I like Romans. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will, look at it. Listen, you can't preach this because most people can't receive it, or if they receive it, they'll receive it in the wrong light. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Glory to God. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Verse 16 and 17, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
He said, tear it down. Tear it down. Destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll raise it up. But he spake of the temple of his body. I speak of the temple of your body. You're not free. You're yet given thought. Lean into your own understanding. You're compensating. And most often in this matter of religion. And what you get? A pig in lipstick. A hog in a $300 suit. And sooner or later, we'll always turn back to either the mire or the vomit. Because they got to compensate. There's compensation needed. Always compensation. Always think, well, I can't say this, I'm a Christian. Well, I can't dress like this, I'm a Christian. Well, I can't act like this, I'm a Christian. What? What are you talking about? You have to think how you're going to act. You have to think about what you're going to be. You're compensating. That's because you're living in the old temple. Tear that thing down. Let God rebuild it. The ultimate example, I think, is found in, go back to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21 and verse 22. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And be raised again the third day. Look at verse 22. An apostle, a disciple, Peter. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke. He started thinking, started compensating, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. There comes that old time religion. From Peter. That first Adam, right there. His temple had yet to be destroyed, you see. And then Jesus preaches what I call the first fire and brimstone sermon, right there in the next verse. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. If you think the devil can't use you, then you better go back and read the Word of God, because he can. He used Peter. You see that? He used Peter. But alas, there was hope for Peter, just as there is for you and I. You see? Look up in verse 18 there and Matthew 16. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A new building, a new church, with the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus the Lord. Tear it down, boys. We're putting up a new one. Now I'm speaking individually. I'm speaking to a congregation, but I'm speaking that we examine ourselves, our own self. This is the only way, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Destroy it. In 3 days, you'll be good as new. I believe that's what happened in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17 with the case of Paul, Saul Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest." How soon did he become a brother? Right away. "Yes, sir. Has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." I don't know if it was 3 days, but I do know it was new. And he put the finishing touches on it right there.
Verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight.
3 days without sight. There you go. Said 3 days, I'll build it. You know what a hypocrite is? A compensator. A compensator. Tear it down. Now, you don't believe he'll build a new one, neither did they. But I'm here to tell you that he will. By experience. I know. And it was the only way. It's your body. And I believe that's the truest form of repentance. Tear this thing down, Lord. Please tear it down. I trust in thee to build a new one.